Now, I don't know you guys, and I'm used to a particular kind of congregation. I'm used to a lively congregation. So I've got an assignment for you. Every time I say amen, you have to say amen twice, and twice as loud. Okay? You want to try it? Amen. Wow. I'm impressed. Excellent. So, be listening for the amens, okay? Very good, very good. Okay, I'm not from Texas. I grew up in Mississippi, and I grew up a Baptist. So it took me a long time to get used to this idea in the Catholic faith of taking saints' bones and honoring them. I just couldn't quite understand that. So we have the arm of Aloysius, and we have the head of St. Agnes over here, and we have the chipped up bones of Martin and Dominic and Ignatius. We also have pieces of clothing and keepsakes, like eyeglasses and bookmarks. Now all that seems kind of normal. That seems pretty fine. But when you take a saint's pinky finger and you put it in a gold trim case and you suck all the air out, and then you put it on an altar for people to come and offer veneration to, I don't know, that's just kind of creepy. Now, Father Heaney, being a Jesuit, will know what I'm talking about, but at the Gesù in Rome, St. Aloysius, who was one of the patron saints of China, went into China, they have his bones on an altar. And I'm a Dominican, and we call it the Terminator bones, because it's a hand like that. It looks just like the one from Terminator 2. It's kind of creepy. But they even have a church in Rome that's made out of the skulls and thigh bones of all the people who have worshipped there over the centuries. Now, all of this seems kind of weird, very strange, that churches have these holy parts in boxes. Yet here we are today, honoring the Sacred Heart of Christ, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Here we are honoring a body part. So what exactly is it that we're honoring? Christ has risen into heaven. We don't have his heart. So what exactly is it that we are honoring today in the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Well, let me ask you a question. What is the link, do you think, between Jesus' Sacred Heart and the biblical image this morning of Jesus as a good shepherd? Now, you might have to stretch to make that one, but we'll do it. Don't worry. In order to start answering this question and the two previous questions, we need to know what the heart is. What is the heart in Catholic spirituality? Now, historically, that is, through our history, the heart of our faith is the symbol of the whole person. So if I say to some of you out here, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Right there. Everybody points, right here. Here is my heart. But in our tradition, your heart is all over. Your heart is the whole person. All of you. The heart is just a symbol of the whole person. It's a symbol of our healing. It's a symbol of the whole person that God has brought to fulfillment and redemption and set right in holiness. All of the various images that we have in our Catholic tradition of the heart bear this out. The pierced heart of Mary. I looked around to see if we had one here, but we don't, I don't think. When Mary is at the foot of the cross and Jesus is dying, her heart is pierced. She's grieving. Her heart is sad. She's sad, grieving that her son is dying. We have the crowned heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart, the triumph of the person Jesus over the death. We also have the heart as a mystical image, that is something a little less concrete, a little less physical. But here's what I want you to do for a second. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. How many of you have been into the tabernacle over here? The chapel where we keep the Blessed Sacrament. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Mom's, dad, you too. I have my glasses on. I have my bifocals. I can see you. What I want you to do now is take in a couple of deep breaths. And I want you to imagine the hand of God handing you a key. And you take that key, and you take that key and you put it into your chest, and you turn, and you open your heart, and you leave that door open until you take communion. And when you come forward to take communion, when you come forward to eat the body of Christ and to drink his blood, you are putting his body, his blood, into your heart. And then you can close that door and turn the key. And then you have become a tabernacle of the body and blood of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Excellent. That will be your holy vault. That will be your treasure chest that you walk out of here with. So then what is true? Your heart then is that place in you, in your spirit and in your soul, where God resides in you. And you have your closest, most intimate relationship with God in your person, in who you are. The very center of your being. The source of your whole life. Now let me tell you what the heart isn't. Who in here watches Walt Disney? And let's see, what my niece watches. What is it? Fanna Montana or whatever her name is. Hannah Montana, sorry. And all the Rugrats and all that kind of stuff. She won't let me watch my cooking shows when I go home. I have to watch Disney. Very often, how many of you ever heard this? Well, little Bobby, just follow your heart. Just feel your way along. How many times have you heard in cartoons and in movies, when somebody doesn't know what to do, they tell them, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Yeah. Well, that's not bad advice. That's not bad advice if you have opened your heart and put God in your center and closed the door, and now you're a mobile, walking tabernacle of God. Very often, though, what they really mean by that is, do what you want to do, which is not the same thing. Okay, let me give you an example. I was sitting in my chair the other day eating a bowl of ice cream. I don't do it very often. But I flipped over and there was Star Wars, the new one. And I heard Yoda say to the younger Obi-Wan Kenobi, he said, I don't know how you're going to find the evil one who killed all the little kids. He said, but you know, just follow your feeling. And I just said, here we go again. And then I switched it over to Mythbusters or something like that. I forget what I was watching. And at least on Mythbusters, they were blowing up raw chickens with nitroglycerin. So that was really cool. Okay. But the idea that the heart rules our deliberations, that it governs our passions, and serves as an unswerving guide for what we ought to do, is not a bad idea. If God rules your heart. If God does not rule your heart, then it easily becomes just doing what you want to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now, you're doing good. Back to Jesus and the Sacred Heart and the Good Shepherd. Here's what Christ wants from you and for you. He wants for you a life of holiness lived in the service to others. Now, you guys may be a little bit too young right now to be too much worried about service, but you're getting there. You're growing up. And one of the best indications of your maturity and how old you're becoming is the degree to which you're willing to be of service to others. That moves you into your mature womanhood and into your mature manhood in Christ. That you're willing to stand up and take responsibility and service to other people. It's not all just about you. The world doesn't always just revolve around you. Being willing to help others is essential to your Christian life. Absolutely essential. So let me say this again. If you do not serve others, if you do not help other people when they need your help, you cannot grow in holiness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. God loves you, and His love makes you whole, makes you complete. You're like a toy that's been sent back to the factory and made new, completely refurbished. Your job, then, is to become Christ for other people, doing what He did, doing what He taught, preaching what He preached. How many of you think you can be a preacher? Come on, how many? I don't mean just being up here talking. You're a preacher in your daily life. You can be, when you go out and you help people, you are preaching the Word of God. When you go out and say nice things to people, when you go out to be helpful, when you go out and tell them what God has done for you, you're being a preacher. That's what preachers do. They carry God's Word out of the church and into the world. That's what we're called upon to do. And you do this out of your gifts. Everything that God has given you. Who's good in math? Oh my goodness. I was not good in math. Okay. How many of you are good in history? English. English is my subject. That's what I do. Science. Woo. Wow. P.E. Not me. I was always sick on P.E. days. Good. Those are your gifts. God has graced you with those talents and those gifts. And your responsibility as you grow into womanhood and into manhood is to use those gifts for the benefit of others. To use your talent for PE, use your talent for math, use your talent for history and science to help other people. And as you do that, you not only get the reward of other people saying, wow, you're really good at this, thank you, but God's love is perfected in you. Meaning, you always have God's love. But when you help other people with your gifts, God's love grows. It grows like a flower. Think about that tabernacle in your chest. And think about that communion growing, getting brighter, getting warmer, loving you more. Now what does He want from you? Christ is the Good Shepherd. His heart is holy. His relationship with His Father is perfect. Everything that Christ is as a person is holy, perfect in God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He can only want for you your perfection. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Okay. Don't slip away from me just yet. There is nothing we can give Christ or do for Christ that will add to His perfection. He is perfect without us. But we can only be perfect in Him. Amen. Thank you. Got a little preacher back here already. So he wants us to be good shepherds ourselves. To be men and women, boys and girls with strong hearts, clear vision, peaceful souls, and welcoming arms. And sometimes the shepherd has to redirect the flock from danger. Sometimes the sheep wander away and they have to be brought back. Have you ever wandered across the street and mom has to go get you? Yeah, I bet. Uh-huh. I hear the principal is here. I could get her up here to tell stories. Absolutely. Sometimes the wolves chase the flock and the shepherd has to defend his sheep. And each of us is responsible for the flock in his or her own way. And as you get older, that responsibility changes. So make sure your heart, and remember, who's in your heart? God. Absolutely. Keep that door open. That place in your soul where you keep the covenant, your heart, is ready for the challenge and ready to break free and to get to work for God's greater glory. So you need to do what you must to perfect your gifts and talents. How many of you are going to summer school? Taking classes this summer. Even fun classes. How many of you are reading on your own? That's the best thing you can do. Absolutely. Sorry? It is summer school. Okay. Okay. That's fine. Continue to perfect your gifts along those lines. And a huge part of your perfection will be using your gift and talents to help others. So as you're doing all of this stuff, think to yourself, how am I helping other people? How am I helping mom and dad, brother and sister? How am I helping the people around me? Okay? Some will say to you that you were too young to be thinking about giving your life as a gift or a talent or a service. How many of you have been told you're too young for this or you're too young for that? Okay? I'm really old and I hear it sometimes. Are you tired of being told that? Yes. You're not too young to begin to offer yourself in service to Christ. You do it where you are to the degree that you can. I say now is precisely the time to take on a passion, something that really makes you want to work hard at it, to pick up a call to do something wonderful for someone else, to do something holy, and begin working on your sainthood. Amen?
Amen.
Who wants to be a saint? Come on, who wants to be a saint? Absolutely, of course you do. So let me ask you this final question. If you want to be a saint, you want to be perfected in Christ's love, your door is open, you're ready to receive Christ into your heart in communion, why would you want to choose to wait until later? Do it now. Begin now. Where you are, with the talents that you have. It doesn't have to be anything heroic, but it can be done in Christ's love. With you and your parents will sit down and look at it and figure out what it is that you can do to help other people. That's Christ the Good Shepherd. He will guide you. He will chase away the wolves, and he won't let you fall over the cliff. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Amen.